Dear ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the conference call of Deutsche Konsum REIT-AG. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulties hearing the conference, please press star key followed by zero on your telephone for operator assistance. May now hand you over to Rolf Elgeti, who will lead you through this conference. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. It's Rolf here from Deutsche Konsum. As per usual, I'd like to give you a very brief overview of our Q3 or nine-month figures. There's a presentation on our website in case you haven't seen it. I would just highlight a couple of slides, and then there will be time for questions. If I may start just on page three, there you can see the highlights of our numbers. Let me highlight a few of those highlights. First, we acquired 160 million in the first nine months of this fiscal year, which is much more than we planned and hoped, which is good news. We are still acquiring at an average yield of 9.3%, which is very healthily, of course, above our cost of debt. I'll come to that later. On the operational side, the business is indeed in a very good shape. You can see that our FFO margin increased to 64%, up 10 points year-on-year. For the first time, we also published a like-for-like rental growth number, which is 1.1%. In that number, we actually exclude those rent increases that have been due to higher CapEx. So this is kind of the zero CapEx version of the rental growth on a same-store basis. Of course, it's only relevant for that part of the portfolio that we had a year ago, but that number is 1.1%, which is not huge, but given that everybody thinks this asset class is dead, I think it's significant that it is positive. Our vacancy has dropped to 9.2% as we've been able to let some vacant space. Our weighted average lease term has again increased, this time to 5.4 years. We've been able to extend a few major rental contracts. And again, of course, that shows you that this asset class is more than stable. It's very sustainable, and there is very healthy demand from our tenants to extend the leases. We've had, again, as per last year, for the nine-month figures, we've had the annual portfolio revaluation, sort of asset balance sheet date of 30th of June. This number was up 32.4 million euros or 6.9%. That valuation now amounts to a rent multiple of 12.8 times of the in-place rent, or conversely, a yield of 7.8%. So still, by no means aggressive. That valuation, by the way, has been done by CBRE. On the financial side, our interest cover ratio has gone up again. We're now at 5.3 times, based on EBITDA, which of course is a very, very healthy position, which in turn has led to an improvement on our kind of debt situation, our rating situation. I'll come to that a bit later. And as you know, we've been able to issue a 50 million unsecured corporate bond, which has been very helpful to extend the runway on our acquisition side. Maybe just to highlight a couple of points on page number five. Page number five shows you kind of the operational strength of this business, kind of, in the corporate finance context. So what does all that mean for the shareholder value? And if you look at the first three charts, these are all the year-on-year comparisons on a nine-month basis. And if you bear in mind that over that time, we've increased the number of shares by 10%, with our capital increase in Q4 last year. So the number of shares has gone up by 10%. At the same time, our rental income has grown by 44%, which tells you that we've been quite efficient with our capital when it comes to buying, and the buying itself already was very shareholder value accretive. then you can see that the FFO at the same time has gone up by 69%. So that was even more accretive. So not only did we buy very accretively, but also the operations and the expansion of the margin, you can see that the FFO margin has gone from 54 to 64% of rental income, of course, due to scale economies, lower cost of debt, and a more efficient management of service charges. Again, I'll come to that later, has meant that the FFO profitability of the business is very, very strong. But of course, the FFO profitability per share is even stronger, which of course results in the third chart, that the FFO per share has gone up by 52%. And as you can see in the bottom right, this is now also reflected in the NAV per share that has grown quite healthily over the time. Skipping a few things, you then see the data on the property portfolio. That's all fairly descriptive. I don't want to run through that. We're happy to take any questions. I just briefly like to highlight page 10 and 11. On page 10, first, you can see that the tenant mix is still very healthy, very defensive, top quality names when it comes to credit. Roughly half of our rental income, of our rental income comes from businesses that are in food retail, and another quarter from non-cyclical uses. So that's very stable in terms of the economic sensitivity, but it's also very stable when it comes to the threat from the internet for retail. On page 11, on the left side, you can see probably the most important chart about our strategy, which simply counts how often we have the same contact or the same tenant in our portfolio, kind of clustered by ownership. And of course, that is what makes all the difference to our business, is that we have the same tenant again and again, thereby reducing kind of the risk of lease extensions, but also kind of more positively speaking, making sure that we have a healthy relationship with our tenants that leads to all sorts of value creation optionalities, be it kind of arranging things before we acquire things, be it very accretive CapEx measures, be it a general kind of mutually helpful relationship when it comes to sorting out minor operational issues. So the fact that we have the same tenant again and again makes us a much more stronger and much more lower risk business, and that's very crucial. And you can see that we have a very significant relationship with all of these tenants, although of course in absolute numbers these numbers are still very small, but given that the market is so fragmented, that is meaningful as it is, which is good news. And on page 11 on the right side, you can just see kind of the expiry profile of our rental contracts. The short version is there's nothing worth reporting, which is the good news. It's all very stable and pretty evenly spread over the next years. If we look at page 12 on the valuation, you can see that the valuation, that there's some background data. I don't want to run through all of that, but just wanted to highlight that the fair value now equates to about 850 euros per square meter, which is roughly probably half than construction cost, and a valuation multiple of 12.8 times. You can see on page 13 the sensitivities of various valuations on our share price, and you can see that the share price effectively currently implies a yield of 6.7% on the assets, whilst in the book, in the books we are 7.8. Again, reasonably conservative, I'd argue. Moving on to the financial structure on page 15, I mentioned at the beginning how the strength of the balance sheet and the strength of the operational situation feeds through to an even more positive reception in the various credit markets. You can see that, of course, with an ICR of 5.3 times, many of you will remember the times when ICR covenants in loan agreements were 1.2 or 1.15. So we're talking about our ICR in place of over five times. That, of course, leads to investment-grade ratings by rating agencies, but, of course, by banks and other credit-issuing institutions internally themselves. That in turn results in very low cost of debt. So we are now below 2% on our average cost of debt, And even for the even considering that we've issued unsecured debt, our cost of debt is still below 2%. The secured debt, of course, even lower. But the fact that our balance sheet and the operational performance allows us to issue very cheap unsecured debt at all is very shareholder value accretive, because and I can't overstress this point, because it allows us to pre-fund acquisitions that in the past we have simply funded out of equity, but now we fund it out of debt, which is maybe 30 basis points more expensive than our secured debt, and then refinance it with secured debt a bit cheaper, rather than having to go to the equity markets for fresh equity. And of course, that means that the existing number of shares can carry a higher portfolio, and therefore the shareholder value accretion is strongly supported by our financial strength. You can see that on page 16 in a bit more detail on how the various numbers have developed, but that is clearly, these financial ratios are what you would expect of an investment grade company. There is, on page 20, there's one last thing I'd like to draw your attention to, which is in the P&L, or in the IFRS income statement, I should say more precisely. At the very, very top of that table, you can see the income from recharged operating costs, or kind of the service charges, differently speaking. And you can see how our asset management team has done a fantastic job in reducing the leakage of service charges, which is always an issue in German real estate, from not so good numbers to pretty good numbers, which means that the operational margin has been able to expand a lot more. If you look at the relationship between the operating expense and the recharged operating costs, and if you take those two in relation to the rental income, you can see that this has been significant, and that is what is normal, and that's what's allowing us to expand our margin overall. Because of course, when you buy from sometimes non-professional and often non-institutional property owners, it takes a year, sometimes 2 years, to fix the mistakes that the previous owners have made when it comes to service charges. And our team has done a very good job, and that's very fundamental to our operational performance. So that's the last point I wanted to highlight. I'll stop here, and my team and myself are very happy to take any questions you may have.
So we will now begin our question and answer session. If you have a question for our speakers, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask the question. If you find your question is answered before it is your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel your question. If you're using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. One moment, please, for the first question. The first question is from Georg Kanders of Bankhaus Lampe. Your line is now open.
Good morning from Düsseldorf. I have one question here. You didn't talk about capital recycling anymore. Is this now off the table? Because you had very strict conditions for selling larger properties.
Yes. That's a very good question. Now, we have only recycled a tiny bit of capital by selling a small property near Berlin at 18 times rent, which we acquired for at 8 times rent kind of 9 months earlier. And in the meantime, we only kind of extended the lease and did nothing else, which made all the difference. Now, we have had a few test balloons for property sales. Three or four, and we have received sort of indications of interest at around 17.5 times rent, and we kind of set ourselves the threshold of maybe selling something at 18 times rent. So we've been close, but we then decided to not sell because at the end of the day, the question is like at which at which multiple can we sell, or which yield can we sell these assets. So we could sell these assets at 5.75, probably. We wanted to sell them at 5.5. But if you look at over the last 6 to 9 months, our cost of capital has gone down so much that selling properties, at the moment at least, does not feel kind of as appealing as a source of new opportunistic capital for further purchases, which is why we haven't put too much pressure on that. As an idea and as a principle, that's still very much sort of in line with what we want to do, but it just hasn't happened yet.
So if somebody comes around and then offers 5.5, then you would sell?
Yes. Basically, yes. Yeah. I mean, the selling assets was never really part of our strategy, but we've always said that, you know, if it's opportunistically possible, and if kind of selling prices are competitive relative to our cost of capital, then we will sell and recycle capital. And we think right now that yield is probably 5.5. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press 0 and 1. There are no further. Just a second. Now another questions are coming in. The next one is from Billy Zinin of SFO. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good morning, Rolf.
Morning.
If you could just comment on your acquisition pipeline. I mean, you've done a lot this year already, so just some color on whether there's still decent opportunities in the market or whether everything has gone now. Just some color on that. Thank you very much.
Yeah. The acquisition pipeline looks good, actually. I mean, I could say the pipeline in a way always looks good because whenever he knows kind of, you know, how serious people are and what one will find during the due diligence and how many people will change their mind before we actually go to the notary and how many negotiations over details in the sale and purchase agreements will actually lead to failure of the project in the end. So it's, we're going through billions of assets every year. And so far we've done 160 million, which is more than we thought. Our target was 100 for the entire year, but the pipeline looks still good, but I don't want to overpromise, but it looks good. Let me explain why it looks good. We are, of course, benefiting from the fact that we are getting bigger and more recognized in that market niche. That helps a lot. Secondly, we increasingly see deal flow that is sort of coming out of sort of big institutions or kind of semi-institutional investors, often multinational companies or funds or family offices that come under pressure, say in UK high street retail. And within their retail fund, there's also some German basic retail, and then someone decides to sell everything. And so sometimes this kind of gets kicked out at the same time. So, or there's semi-distress, again, mainly coming from UK retail investors that also have part of their portfolio in Germany, and then they simply need to sell in Germany to plug holes in the UK. So that sort of situations we have seen a bit. And therefore, ironically, the deal pipeline is a bit better than 12 months ago. But again, I mean, we're talking about going through 5 or 6 billion of assets every year. Last year, we've done 127 million out of that. This year, sort of the growth pipeline is about the same size, but we have a slightly higher hit ratio. But of course, because the numbers are so small and because we are so small, the pipeline looks so much stronger relative to how small we are, which of course is very exciting. I mean, that in a way is partly why we do this, because when you are a small property company, and you are a focused player in a niche that's actually quite big, as is the case here, then of course by just having a slightly higher hit ratio, all of a sudden the whole thing becomes much more accretive than you planned, which is very exciting.
Thank you very much. Great job.
Thank you.
The next question is from Andrew Gibbs of Otus Capital. Your line is now open.
Hi, Rolf. Just a quick question. Can you sort of frame the dividend for me in terms of just describing how you think about it with regards to the current balance sheet, you know, what your funding is for new, you know, and whether there is a set policy on it?
Yeah. Morning, Andrew. That's very simple. Our dividend is more or less within a small range, is defined by law, by the German REIT legislation, which basically stipulates that we have to pay out at least 90% of the German GAAP profit. And of course, again, by German law, we can't pay out more than 100% of the German GAAP profit. So we have tiny discretion in our dividend policy only. If you look at the accounts, then the key difference between the FFO statement and the German GAAP accounts is the regular depreciation within German GAAP. So German GAAP profits are depressed by that number. And if you reconcile that math, then give or take, we have a payout ratio in terms of FFO of roughly 50% of FFO. Which, as it happens, is probably a very healthy and sensible number for a property company. So that's simply our policy, where we have very little choice, but it turns out by accident almost that it seems quite sensible too, I think.
Okay, brilliant. And there's no variability in that GAAP accounting, as it were. There's nothing that...
No, I mean, virtually nothing.
You can... Yeah, okay.
No, that's virtually, and the German GAAP, that's virtually nothing, because it's, you know, virtually everything is charged through the P&L, where one has optionality within IFRS. Then you have the depreciations with very little optionality in the detail. And then the only choice that we have is whether, you know, at which end of the range between 90 and 100% of German GAAP we want to pay out. But that's almost no choice, because by the time you do the math and you want to have kind of, you know, entire sense for the dividends and take rounding into account, then it's almost no choice at the end of the day. So the only real choice that we have is when we sell assets, we can put those gains into a special reserve. Then don't have to distribute this if we reinvest within 5 years. This is what the German REIT legislation allows. But that has so far, apart from this one tiny sale where the profit was, I think, 600,000 euros, has not been meaningful.
Got it. Thanks very much.
There are no further questions. I hand back to the speakers.
Great. Well, thanks everyone for taking the time, thank you for your questions. If there are any further questions, we are, of course, around to answer them by phone or email. And thank you for your interest. Thank you for your support. And speak in roughly 3.5 months again, hopefully. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may disconnect now.